Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Sawbones, a Meryl Tour of Misguided Medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
We're both very sniffly.
Yes, that's true. I'm sorry about that in advance, everyone listening.
It's allergy season here, and probably lots of other places too, but that's what's
other
happening.
Other places that it is summer transitioning into fall.
Sid, I just got back from New York. I missed you.
Oh, I missed you too, honey.
I'm glad
I hate when you leave.
Me too. I'm glad to be back. I wish there was some way that I could, travel less. But, lady business calls, as they say.
Wait, lady business calls?
Lady business. Well, not like lady justice, but lady business.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying like lady business. Lady and business. I was going to say I'm offended on multiple levels by that statement.
No, like, you know, business.
The lady that is business has
the
called.
Years of industry.
Okay.
Summoned me.
Well, you know, if you wanted to travel less, like there is one way.
What's that?
I mean, we could have been born conjoined twins.
Okay. Yes.
We'd never be apart.
That would solve the travel issue. It would create, I guess you could say, some other like complications.
But wouldn't it be nice? We'd always be together. You'd always be right next to me. You could come with me to work.
We'd be related.
That would be fun.
We'd be related.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be your hitch every time.
That would be
right
a bit
there.
Of a problem. And depending on how we were connected, it could make kissing difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to live that way because we're married. And that would be odd if we were also conjoined twins. I don't think that's done simply. But
right. I'll just handcuff us together later.
Honestly, Sid, if I'm going to be honest, I don't know that much about conjoined twins.
You know, Justin, I think that's true for a lot of people because we have had quite a few requests to talk about conjoined twins.
From who?
Well, from listeners. Would you like me to name a few?
Name them.
So thank you to Noah and Caitlin and Sarah and Nicholas and Jolene and Diane and Angel and Michelle.
Thank you. Now
all
we're
you
doing
guys,
it. So back off.
You. We're going to talk about conjoined twins.
Okay, take me back to the beginning of conjoined twins. Help me understand from a base level. Pretend I'm a simple man with a limited understanding of science.
That won't be hard.
Ba-dum-tsh.
I've been waiting for that setup. Since how long have we been doing this show?
So, conjoined twins, Sid, we're ready when you are.
So,
the audience is starting to get a little bored, and they'd like you to just tear into it.
Let's talk about twinning, the concept of twins.
Okay.
Do you know why there are twins? Like, why are two people twins? How does that happen?
There are two different ways.
Okay, go ahead.
One is two. Sorry for the adult language, but one way is two spermies get into the same egg. And two spermies get into the same egg. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one issue. The other is when two separate eggs simultaneously get impregnated by two separate spermies at the same time, the same exact millisecond, that's how you get fraternal twins.
Okay, if
and
anyone...
there's a third way where the egg, after being fertilized and thus making it a zygote, splits.
Okay, I don't know where you came up with that first way.
I think it was from Look Who's Talking.
Oh, okay. That's not a thing, but you were right with the other two.
Nice.
So you're right. So there are two types of twins. There are fraternal twins and identical twins. And fraternal twins are, yes, like you said, when there are two different eggs and two different sperm, and they just all happen to, you know, form at the same time. So you get two babies.
Yeah.
So they grow in the uterus together, but they aren't the exact same, you know, genetic material.
It's right.
Two different sperm, two different eggs. So that's why fraternal twins don't look identical.
Got it. Right?
And why you can have male-female fraternal twins.
Okay, that'll make sense.
Now, if you have one egg that is fertilized by one sperm, which, as you said, then divides, it can become identical twins.
Okay. So if I had to guess, and I'm going on a limb here, are conjoined twins when the egg doesn't separate, like, cleanly or all the way?
It's exactly. It's when it doesn't completely divide. And depending on how far into the process it doesn't completely divide. So, I mean, if it divides right away, you get identical twins. If it starts to divide later, and then later and later, you get more degree of conjoinedness.
Conjoinery.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They're more closely conjoined.
Right.
The further in the process it doesn't divide.
Right. I gotcha.
So then you get conjoined twins. And of course, there are different types of conjoined twins depending on how they are joined together.
Okay.
So for instance, and we kind of classify them based on the location in their body where the connection is. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Whether it's their head or their right. upper body or their lower body. So there's thoracopagus, which are, they're joined at the sternum, and they tend to share a heart. So they're joined at the top part of their body. And that's about like 40% of conjoined twins. There's omphalopagus, and they're joined at the waist and can be all the way up to the chest, but it's usually like the center.
Mm-hmm.
Like their stomach area, and they can share a part of their GI tract, part of their GU tract, usually not though the heart, sometimes usually not. And that's about 33%. There's pyopagus that are joined either like down at the waist at the sacrum, or even can be like back to back, like butt to butt.
Oh, okay.
Can be joined that way. There's some twins joined that way. And then the rarest are craniopagus, which are joined at the head. And you may have seen twins like that before.
Yeah, I think, but only like in crude illustrations, that sort of thing.
Right. And that we have seen some twins like that they're joined, and they may or may not share some part of their brain. They may have mm-hmm. two separate brains, or they may share brain tissue. They may only have one. It just depends. And there are lots of other variations on these. These are kind of the major types of conjoined twins.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, depending on how you're joined, that's gonna be a big part of, one, if you can be separated, and two, how much it's going to impact your quality of life and your health. Conjoined twins are rare. They occur about once every 200,000 live births.
Mm-hmm.
And the survival rate of conjoined twins, like to birth, is really only about 5-25%. It's fairly low, just because it creates a lot of problems in utero. Sure. Female conjoined twins seem to fare better for whatever reason, because you are three times as likely to be born alive if you're female conjoined twins as opposed to male. So there are a lot more female conjoined twins. 70% are female.
That's wild. Well, we have no idea why.
No, I don't know why. But for whatever reason, most conjoined twins are female. And we have evidence that, and this makes sense, like, why would this be a new thing, right? Why would people have all of a sudden started having identical twins or having conjoined twins?
Well, I know that we've seen some changes in the twin statistics thanks to fertilization drugs and things like that.
That's true. And I guess it's fair to say that as the rate of identical twins rises, you would expect the rate of conjoined twins to rise. But it's something that happens randomly anyway. So we've had conjoined twins certainly for as long as we've been having twins.
Can I ask a question?
Or babies at all.
That you'll probably have to just like hypothesize about. Why do we not have a better number than 5-25% survive? That's like a fairly big range with something that's pretty easy to quantify. I mean, it's fairly binary.
I think we're just talking about, we're talking about the rate of survival to birth. Does that mean, so we're factoring it, this is really a rate of miscarriage.
So that's harder.
So it's harder to quantify, okay. And it's not always reported.
Because we don't always have the insight into.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So that number's a little harder.
By the way, one other quick question. You talk about where they're joined depends on where it was in the fertilization process. Like, are we talking like minutes, days, weeks? Like,
yeah, like days in.
Days.
Like hours and days in.
Okay.
Hours to days. Yeah, the very, very beginning of the fertilization process, like egg and sperm meet, and then the instant divisions that take place really dictate if this is going to happen or not.
Okay.
And most of the time it doesn't, but then every once in a while it does. We have found statues and sculptures that depict conjoined twins, what we think are, you know, a depiction of twins that were born conjoined from 3,000 years ago. So obviously, you know, why would it have not been happening? In the 16th century, a famous French surgeon whom we've spoken of before, Ambroise Paré.
That sounds familiar. Paré,
He wrote a lot about conjoined twins. He actually was the reason we have all these different names and categories for conjoined twins based on how they are joined. And he thought a lot about it to try to figure out, like, why does this happen? Why are there people who are conjoined? But the theories were pretty typical, I would say, for 16th century reasoning. Maybe it's because the parents made God angry. Maybe it's just God's way of showing, like, how powerful he is. Or maybe it has nothing to do with God. Maybe it's the devil. Or maybe it has nothing to do with God or the devil. Maybe it's mom's fault because she saw something that was shocking when she was pregnant. And as a result, this is what happened with her pregnancy.
Yeah.
He had some physiological thoughts, like maybe it has to do with a womb that's too small, you know, so they don't have room to separate. Maybe your clothes are too tight. Or maybe you sat wrong while you were pregnant.
Yeah, probably not that one.
That's a terrifying thing, by the way. If that's your theory and you're telling pregnant women that, having been a pregnant woman, and I mean, I'm fairly knowledgeable about pregnancy from a very, you know, scientific perspective because of my chosen trade. If someone had looked at me and said, by the way, you might sit wrong while you're pregnant and cause problems for your baby, how terrifying
is that? It's terrible.
Yeah. You may just sit wrong.
It's brutal.
I would never sit.
Just don't sit.
I would stand all the time.
Just stand or sleep. Just don't sit.
Now, of course, none of these reasons
kneeling,
are why.
That's fine. Crouching, squatting.
But no sitting.
No sitting.
Because you might sit wrong. I don't even know what he, he didn't write. Like, how,
gone into detail.
How do you sit wrong?
If it was that possible, he should have, like, detailed that a little bit better.
Yeah, in what way is the, what, how do you sit right?
Now I'm questioning everything.
Because I will tell you
maybe
that
I'm
on my
time.
I'm on my feet a lot, so I typically feel that any sitting is right.
You're right, yeah.
If I'm sitting, it feels so right.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously none of these things are
not,
right.
I mean, none of it's real, so.
Now, in general, if you were born as one of a pair of conjoined twins hundreds of years ago, it probably wasn't a good thing for you. It was usually seen as the result of either mom did something bad or it was some sort of evil omen. And so unfortunately, we don't have a lot of stories about what happened to conjoined twins, you know, because they were kind of abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
As time went on, we start to hear some more interesting stories about the lives of different pairs of conjoined twins because they did survive and their lives were always notable because
such a unique experience.
It was a unique experience. And so a lot of people talked about it and wrote about it and shared that. So the first that we have some sparse records of are a pair of twins from the 10th century. We actually don't even know their names. We know that they were born in Armenia. They traveled to Constantinople and they were like friends with the royal court there, which I think is why we have such a great record that there was this pair of conjoined twins that existed at the time. The reason that this is mentioned is that one of the twins died and so they tried to do surgery to separate them at that point.
Mm.
No one would have attempted that before because...
Well, sure, right, obviously.
Yeah, surgery at the time was a death sentence, right? We didn't have anesthesia. We didn't know how to control blood loss. We didn't have antibiotics. We didn't know anything. So any century was a bad news. If you didn't have to do it, you wouldn't do it. But when one twin died, they had to. And so they attempted to separate them. And the other twin actually survived 3 days,
that's a terrible 3 days. Like,
it is, but for the 10th century, that's quite an accomplishment that the surgeon was able to do that.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
The oldest known conjoined twins that we actually have names for and know a little bit more about their story were from 1100 in Bindon, County of Kent, England. They were named Mary and Eliza Chilkhurst, and they were Pyopagus twins, so they were probably joined down lower at their sacrum, maybe even like kind of like I described butt to butt, like the lower part of their, like in their pelvis.
Where your tail used to be.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, sort of. That's your coccyx.
Got it.
But you're, think about your pelvis at some part of their pelvis.
Got it. That. I'm into it.
So from descriptions and depictions, that's probably where they were joined. There were some other drawings that you can find of them where it looks like they're also joined at the shoulder as well as down at the hip. That's highly unlikely. That just usually isn't the way it works. So that was probably just a kind of a fanciful drawing.
That's weird that you needed to look, make a pair of conjoined twins look like more unique, like more like exactly. Like it was like, oh, this is boring, everybody's seen this, like what are you talking about? It's like, it's already so rare, you don't need to like spice it up with your artistic license, dude.
No, it's an interesting enough story alone.
Yeah, that's wild.
They lived their lives connected because it was thought at the time that surgery was impossible. And they, I think that they actually grew to be okay with that, to enjoy each other's company, because when eventually one twin did pass away, as she got older, the other twin was offered surgery to attempt to save her life because they knew it would be fatal for her, and she refused and said, we came into this world together, and that's how we will leave. And
oh, that's beautiful.
What's beautiful about this story, because I know that's sad, but they were very wealthy. And they donated their money as well as 20 acres of land to the local church. And to this day, to commemorate them, every Easter Sunday, the church hands out free cakes and biscuits and things with the images of the what are now known as the Bindon Maids to the locals.
Well, that's nice.
Their gifts and contributions and charity is, you know, is commemorated to this very day. So it's kind of a nice end to that story.
That is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But there is an even more famous set of conjoined twins that I want to tell you about.
Tell me. Sit them ready. Braced.
But before I do that...
Oh, I should have seen this coming.
Why don't we head to the billing department?
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. You've probably heard about HelloFresh in the past. It's a huge meal kit in America. I mean, the number one meal kit in America. But this fall, they're serving up even more love. Folks, this isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's new. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. You can also, if you're into veggies, you can eat greener with some new veggie-packed recipes that have two or more veggies per dish. I gotta say, folks, that's ambitious for me. I think a two veggie meal, I'd be feeling pretty darn good about myself. I really like this new offering from HelloFresh. All these options, you are definitely gonna find some stuff that you love. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus a free breakfast for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only, varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus free breakfast for life. I think staying connected is really one of the best gifts that you can give during this holiday season. And I think Aura Frames is a really good way of doing that. Here's what you do. It's a digital photo frame. You set it up for the intended recipient, or they can set it up themselves, you know, if they're a little bit more tech savvy. But once that's done, you are able to send pictures onto that photo frame from anywhere wirelessly through the Aura app. So imagine this. You set it up for grandma, and then you capture a picture of the kids at the zoo. Maybe there's 5 dolphins. You're like, holy crap, grandma loves dolphins. She's going to love this picture. Well, she could be seeing it just by uploading it directly to her frame. Even if grandma's already got one, what if she needs a second one in the toilet? Or it doesn't have to be in there. It could be anywhere. But imagine that. You get beautiful designs from Aura range from, like, I just saw the new Carver mat it's new to me. I got a new Carver mat frame. It's really beautiful. I like all the designs, and I think you will too.
Not just for you, though. Maybe it's a gift. But you know what? Grab one for yourself. You're going to be jealous. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Allegra Ringo, a dog owner.
And I am Renee Culvert, a dog wanter.
And together, we're the hosts of Can I Pet Your Dog, a podcast for unapologetic dog lovers.
So let's talk about this. What are you getting yourself into? What is this podcast about?
Well, we have dog news, dog experts, and interviews with special guests about their dogs.
We also talk about dogs that we met this week.
Join us every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org for new episodes of Can I Pet Your Dog?
Okay, Sid, tell me about the really super duper famous conjoined twins.
The most famous conjoined twins, if you've heard of conjoined twins, are probably Chang and Ing Bunker, who I asked you if you'd heard of and you said no.
Nope.
How is that possible?
I live a sheltered life. I don't know. I read mostly the internet. I don't know.
Well, these guys are all over the internet. They were originally
really?
From...
Really? They got like Twitter handles and everything? They got a MySpace?
I mean... If you
can I Google, follow their Spotify playlist?
You Google them, you will find lots of information.
They got a Tumblr?
I got three Tumblrs. Tell me they're all over the internet. I'm the internet.
I would argue that they are maybe more famous than Justin McElroy.
Okay, possibly in their day. Now, how many followers do they have on Twitter? None. All right, tell me about Chang and Ing Bunker.
So they were originally from Siam, and this is actually where we get the term that we no longer use, Siamese twins.
Right.
From Chang and Ing Bunker. Because they were from Siam, and they, when they eventually, as I will tell you about, started touring with different groups to kind of showcase themselves to make money, they were billed as the Siamese twins because it sounded exotic. That was pretty much it.
And Siamese, is that using the phrase Siamese twins, is that considered like, is that offensive, or is it just like inaccurate and therefore?
I would say it's offensive in that it's inaccurate and it's inappropriate. It's not. I mean, first of all, we don't call, there is no Siam.
Right.
And that would be number one. And so I don't know, even if you were conjoined twins from what was formerly known as Siam, you wouldn't be Siamese twins.
Right.
It's Thailand now.
Sure.
And secondly, if you aren't from formerly Siam, like why would you call, you know?
Yeah. Fair. Okay.
Why would I start calling you French Justin?
If you would do that, I would be thrilled. Really?
Okay, so it's not, it wouldn't, that wouldn't necessarily be like inappropriate or offensive, but it would be
right.
Like inaccurate.
Got it.
So don't use that. Say conjoined.
Yeah, sounds smart.
They were born in 1811, and initially they worked at home to support their family, and they actually started a business and were fairly successful. But in 1829, a Captain Coffin, who was visiting, saw them and convinced them that they should move with him to the U.S., and that he could be their manager, and that they could make a lot more money and support their family in a lot, you know, better fashion if he would, you know, if they would allow him to kind of tour them around and show them off.
A lure of fame. I'll get you.
They agreed and began touring the U.S. initially as the Siamese Double Boys and then later as Siamese Twins. They toured
Double
some...
Boys is better.
You like Siamese Double Boys better?
Siamese Double Boys is a sweet name. Siamese Twins is fine. But it's no Siamese Double Boys.
Do you?
Sounds like a really, really, really righteous like Asian rap outfit. You know what I mean? That is like really underground.
The Double Boys.
The Siamese Double Boys. Where are we from? Siam's not a place. Why don't you wipe that smile off your face? Because we're coming at you with guns galore. We're attached at the hip. Do you want to see more?
That was great.
Thanks. I just, this is going to surprise you. I just freestyled that.
Maybe you and your brothers could start being like the McElroy Triple Boys.
Triple Boys, the only outfit that's harder than the Double Boys.
The West Virginia Triple Boys.
That's a pretty good name. Okay.
There you go. Okay.
Done.
I get credit, TM.
I'm getting the URL right now.
They toured some in the UK as well, but they actually weren't allowed in France. They tried to do some tours in France, but they weren't allowed because there was a fear that if, as we kind of alluded to earlier, if any pregnant women saw them, then they would also give birth to conjoined twins.
What year is this? 1811? That's stupid for
1830s.
That's stupid for a lot of times. That's super stupid for 1830. Like, 1830? Wasn't Jules Verne already, like, up in this piece?
We've talked about this before, though, that it's as late as, like, the early 1900s, it was thought that if you read something scary or saw something upsetting while you were pregnant, then it would somehow scar your child.
But the idea that, like, okay, scar your child is one thing, but, like, the idea that seeing conjoined twins is going to commit mind crime on you seems, like, a little far-fetched. Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't, sure. like, Sherlock alive back then in 1830s? Sherlock was alive, walking around solving cases.
Sherlock?
You know, Sherlock Holmes. Like,
well, I mean, I know who you mean, but, like, he's not... Do you think Sherlock Holmes is a real person?
What's next?
So they weren't allowed in France, but they did tour extensively in the U.S. and the U.K., and as they moved around, they saw many different doctors throughout their lives to be examined and evaluated. For one, because a lot of doctors wanted to for their own kind of medical curiosity, but two, to see if they could be separated. But no doctor ever thought it was possible. They thought it was way too risky.
And it had nothing to do with Captain Coffin standing in the doorway with like a wad of, well, twos, I guess. I don't know. That was big money back then.
Handfuls of coins, the balloons. Maybe doubloons
in 1830.
What's interesting about this is that they were actually only conjoined by a very narrow band of tissue at their waist. They shared a little bit of liver tissue, and that was pretty much it. So by today's standards, they'd be pretty easy to separate.
Huh.
It, more than likely. I mean, I don't know. I don't have all the imaging to tell you for sure, but it would probably have been a successful surgery.
Surprising nobody like took a run at it. I mean, I guess it's like your life, so maybe you want to make sure the person's like 100%, oh yeah, I can defo do that, like no problem.
Well, exactly, and since they were connected by so little tissue, they were able to, you know, both do all the things. It wasn't uncomfortable. You know, some of the ways that conjoined twins are conjoined, it prevents them from sitting in certain ways or moving certain ways or doing certain things. Yeah, they weren't prevented from a lot of things.
That's kind of like a... It's kind of like an in for a penny, in for a pound situation, Sid. I mean, like, you could be pretty... I mean, like, the distance between being very barely conjoined twins and, like, not conjoined twins is, like, great distance. It's, like, well, infinite sure. distance, actually, technically speaking.
But it didn't... It really, as far as quality of life... Now, I mean, we don't know. I don't know. I did an interview him. I can't tell you for sure. But I will say that after... They stopped touring. They settled in North Carolina. They got their citizenship. They started farming. So they had a successful farm. They married two sisters, Adelaide and Sarah-Ann Yates. And between the two of them, they fathered 21 children.
Nice! Whoa!
So they did okay.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I'm not saying their lives were worse. I'm just taking umbrage with the fact, like, that you can't be, like, mildly conjoined. Like, you're just like conjoined or not, I think.
I guess. You know, the sister's dad, Adelaide and Sarah-Ann Yates, actually objected to the marriage, didn't want his daughters marrying them, which you'd assume was because they were conjoined twins.
Yeah.
And it actually wasn't true. You got to remember the time period. It was just because they were from then Siam. He was cool with the conjoined twins thing.
Figure it's because they're entertainers. You know, those Hollywood types.
The actors. They did go back into show business later. They worked with Barnum, famously.
Sure.
They toured Europe that way. Still not allowed in France, I think. But then their health began to decline, and Chang died first in 1874, and Ng followed shortly thereafter. There have been a lot of other famous conjoined twins since, and a lot of them are either coerced or voluntarily enter into the show business world. To make their fortune. There were Helen and Judith. They were Hungarian sisters who were joined back to back at the sacrum. They were born in 1701, and they were actually, their parents made sure they were very well educated. They spoke many languages. They were trained in singing and dancing, and by all accounts, enjoyed it. That's how they made their living, and they enjoyed it. Who knows? But that's how they said they enjoyed it. And eventually they gave that up. They entered a convent. But Alexander Pope wrote a poem about them, which is kind of cool.
And you're going to recite it for me now?
Nope.
Okay.
But later.
Got it. I'll look forward to it.
Yeah, hold your breath. Millie and Christine McCoy were another pair of conjoined twins who were born in North Carolina in 1851. This is a theme. We visit North Carolina a few times in this episode. I don't know why conjoined twins in North Carolina have a connection, but there you go. They were born actually as slaves in 1851. And as a result of that, they were sold to various jerks who were trying to make money off of them.
Of course.
As well as stolen a couple times by jerks. From other jerks. There's just a lot of jerks in this story. But it doesn't end sad because they ended up back with their family after slavery ended in this country, which was good. And they did continue to perform singing and dancing, supposedly by choice.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
They were billed. You can see references to that sometimes in like old timey shows from they were called the Two-Headed Nightingale.
Mm.
They were actually again joined. They were Pyopagus, so they were joined at like the sacrum again. There were the Tocci brothers, Giacomo and Giovanni, who were born in Italy in 1877, and they actually shared everything from the waist down. Was just one person, or was just one body. They were conjoined completely from the waist down. They were given to the Royal Academy of Medicine in Turin by their parents when they were a month old.
Wow.
They were, that's unheard of now, but they were given to them. They were actually each twin was able to control their respective arm really well, and they both had a lot of artistic talent, which I think is kind of cool.
It must require a lot of cooperation.
Absolutely. And it's not common. My understanding is that it's not common that each twin necessarily has that much control over the limb that, you know, that is on their side.
Sure.
They also ended up marrying sisters and kind of retired from public life and lived 43 years near Venice in seclusion. Which sounds kind of nice.
Yeah.
Venice is nice.
Yeah.
There are a pair of sisters you may have heard of, the Hilton sisters. They're pretty famous.
Paris and whatever her name, Rebecca. Nah,
these are better.
Okay.
Violet and Daisy. They were, again, Pyopagus twins, born in Brighton, England in 1908. Their mother, they actually were sold to a midwife right after birth. Again, not because they were conjoined, but because the mother was unwed. And so they didn't want that scandal to get out that this unwed mother had these children. The midwife was a tyrant, and she forced them to learn how to sing and dance and perform. Eventually, they had to battle for their freedom in court, and they escaped her.
Yay!
However, they did continue to perform at that point again by choice.
So you get a taste of the spotlight.
They starred in a couple of different movies. Oh. There was one that was unfortunately named Freaks, but there was another one that was named Chained for Life, which was a story that was supposed to be true life, but it wasn't. But it was supposed to be about conjoined twins where one commits a murder.
Mm-hmm.
So the courts are trying to decide what to do.
Whoa.
Do you send them to jail and, you know, make the other twin go to jail?
Oh, that's kind of interesting. That's
yeah.
Pretty good.
So that movie's out there, Chained for Life, if you're ever interested.
Huh.
They even performed as part of Bob Hope's act, tap dancing. They both got married and divorced. One of their marriages only lasted 10 days. And after a while, their career kind of wound down, and they ended up first running an unsuccessful hamburger stand in Florida and then working as grocery store clerks in North Carolina. Again in North Carolina.
That's great. What is it about North Carolina? The open arms.
I don't know.
That's wild.
A couple other conjoined twins that I think are interesting to hear about, because it was the first time that like a surgery successfully, you know, was able to separate conjoined twins. Radhika and Dudika Neek, who were from India in 1888, they had to be separated because Dudika had gotten TB and was very ill.
Oh, okay.
And it was the only way to save Radhika's life. And so they separated them, and Radhika actually was able to live a year after that. Because it was a very narrow band of tissue. So it was a successful surgery, which is the first time that we know that happened to that degree of success, I should say.
Right.
It's in general, if you look into all these different twins' lives, many of them sought to marry and were refused because throughout olden times when we didn't know much, it was always an argument over whether or not were they two people or one person, which they're two people clearly, but the courts would argue about this. And two, was it morally indecent for them to get married?
Well, that's kind of crummy.
Well, because of the sex thing.
Okay, well that makes sense.
I think all of
them would. It doesn't make sense. It's still kind of whack, but
it is. It's completely whack, and I mean, I think we would all argue no. But it led to a lot of interesting moral and ethical debates, especially if two twins were separated. Sometimes, if they had shared genitalia, sometimes they would kind of give the genitalia to one of the twins and not the other, which if they were both genotypically males, one would become phenotypically a male and one would become phenotypically a female, which created other issues for them later down the road as to what they identified as and, you know, that kind of thing. So there were all kinds of different issues surrounding it. In general, separating conjoined twins is a risky surgery. It's better now because we have all kinds of imaging that can help us. So we can do MRIs and angiography to figure out exactly what nerves and blood vessels and what parts of what organ are connected so that we know before we go in and try to separate, you know, conjoined twins, what we're going to cut through. At this point, it's much better. Since 1950, we have a success rate of about 75% for at least one twin surviving. But it's still incredibly risky, and especially twins that are joined, you know, to a great extent that share a lot of the same internal organs or that share brain tissue. It can be a very, very risky surgery to this day. And so there are many twins who opt just not to do it.
Wild. We are part of the Maximum Fun podcast network. They got a ton of great shows on there for you to go and listen to and enjoy. Why not check out Bullseye? It's a pop culture show hosted by Jesse Thorne, the father of Maximum Fun, the podfather, if you will. And they got a ton of great guests. And I'm sure that there's going to be one on there that you would be very interested to hear from. They had one of the gentlemen on from Key and Peele.
That's great.
It suddenly escapes me which of the gentlemen it was, but it was one of them. It was a really good interview. And you can find that at MaximumFun.org, as you can find all our shows. Hey, next week we are going to be in the Pacific Northwest. We're going to be in Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver. Portland tickets are sold out, but there's still tickets available. If you want to see us in Seattle, it's MBMBAM. We are performing with my brother and me, which is a fight show I do with my brothers. But you can find the tickets at bit.ly/MBMBAM Seattle and bit.ly/VanMBMBAM. Thank you to taxpayers for letting us use their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And I believe that's going to do it for us, Ed.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. And until next Wednesday, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.